Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ, this sermon has been uploaded for you by Grace Unlimited, a ministry that functions out of Living Hope Church, Pretoria, South Africa. We want Jesus Christ to have first place in everything in our church. And we want to help you know and follow Jesus in all of life, and to help others do the same. Find out more or download many more free sermons at graceunlimited.co.za or livinghopechurch.co.za.
Take your Bibles and open to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs again today. And I know that some of you have been saying, I can't wait to get back to the Gospel of Luke. And we will. We haven't forgotten Luke. We'll probably finish up the year looking at Luke, actually. But we have a few more weeks on Proverbs. We're going to talk about what Proverbs has to say about money. We're going to talk about what Proverbs has to say about purity. We're going to talk about what Proverbs has to say about parenting. And we may even have a special Sunday on what the Bible has to say in general, just about the prosperity gospel. And then we'll get back to the book of Luke. But today, Proverbs. We're going to look at the book of Proverbs, and we're going to talk actually about how you talk to others. Because really, you know, as we've been studying the book of Proverbs the past couple weeks, we've been seeing that God is very kind to us. And one of the ways that God is kind to us is that he stoops down to give us specific instruction that we need to live life well. Sometimes Proverbs might seem a little hard, actually, because it just comes in and it shows us what's right and wrong. But that's actually a demonstration of God's kindness and God's grace, because God wants you to live a life that's good for you and that glorifies him. And so one of the ways he shows his grace to you is by giving you instruction like he does in the book of Proverbs, where he's telling us what's right, obviously, but he's also telling us what's good. These are God's plans for smart, wise living. It's like God is stooping down and he's helping us think through some issues in our lives that are going to have a huge influence on us, and that are going to have a huge influence on the lives of the people around us. And today, I want us to look at Proverbs and talk about the way we talk. Specifically, what does Proverbs have to say about how we communicate? And probably, actually, the very first thing that Proverbs has to say about the way that we communicate is that it is important. And I want to kind of put an exclamation point on important right at the beginning, because in some ways how you speak to others obviously seems like a small thing. We do it every day. We have done it for so long. We're constantly talking. And I think because we're constantly talking, a lot of people take communication as something small. They barely think about what they say. But according to Proverbs, the reality is that it is a very big thing. Your everyday talk, when you wake up and talk to the people in your house, when you get in the taxi and talk to the people around you, when you're at work and you are talking, when you're here at church, what you say, the way you talk, according to Proverbs, there are few things that are more important in your life than how you speak. And one way we know that it is so important in Proverbs is because of how much it talks about it. What you talk a lot about shows what matters to you, and Proverbs talks about the way that you talk a lot. In fact, there are two subjects that Proverbs has more to say about than any other. And we're going to talk about these this week and probably next week. And these two subjects are money and communication. These are the two subjects that Proverbs talks the most about, which means obviously if you're going to be wise according to Solomon, since that's the purpose of the book, you need to know how to handle money and you need to know how to communicate with others. And actually, communication is the subject he talks about. They say something like 20% of Proverbs has to do with the way you speak. And to help us take speech seriously, Solomon talks about the way you speak repeatedly. And when he talks about the way you speak, gives you all these pictures stressing its value. He's a good teacher, Solomon. And so he doesn't just say that talking is important. He gives us these pictures to show us how important the way we communicate is. It's kind of like, picture this. For example, he compares good speech to money. If you look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20, he says, the tongue of the righteous, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20, is choice silver. Think about a silver tongue, in other words. Probably because Solomon knows how much people value money, he says, you know what's really valuable? It's knowing how to speak well. And actually, later in Proverbs, he says, while there are all kinds of valuable things in this world, knowing how to communicate well is especially rare and precious. Look over at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. He says, there is gold, an abundance of costly stones. But the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. It's like Solomon saying, there are lots of valuable things out there. If you want to get rich, there's an abundance of costly stones. But being able to speak well is especially important and valuable, partially because Solomon knows the impact of how you speak on your life. How you speak matters because of its impact. Which is why another image that Solomon uses for communication besides money is that of fruit. He talks about the way that you speak as the fruit of your mouth. And sometimes it's good fruit if you know how to speak well. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2 says, from the fruit of his mouth a man eats what is good. And sometimes, however, it's not good fruit if you don't know how to speak. According to Solomon, how you speak matters. If you know how to speak well, you're rich. If you don't, you're poor. If you know how to speak well, you're healthy and you're satisfied because you're going to eat that fruit all of your life. And if you don't, you'll be sick because you'll be eating what's bad for you. And so really, there's hardly any area in your life practically that matters more than how you speak. And to give you an idea of how much it matters, I want you to look with me at what Solomon says in Proverbs about the power of the way you communicate. A wise person knows speech matters because a wise person understands the power of speech. That's one of the differences between someone who's good at life and someone who's not. And I guess I want to help you see why you need to pay so much attention to this particular area in your life. And I think seeing how powerful speech is part of how Solomon wants to motivate us. And so he starts negatively if you look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. And we're going to look at a lot of Proverbs today. I couldn't figure out how to do this without looking at a lot of Proverbs. And so we're going to look at a lot of Proverbs. And there are a lot of Proverbs where Solomon shows you the negative impact that speech can have on your life. And bottom line, he says, if you don't control the way you speak, it will ruin your life. It's not really complicated. Proverbs 10:8, the wise of heart receive commandments, he writes, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. And babbling means a person who just talks and talks and talks, who's not in control really of what he says. He just says and says and says. And Solomon says that failure to control his mouth is going to destroy him. Proverbs 10:10, in case we missed it, he repeats, whoever winks the eye causes trouble, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. And one more time in the same chapter, just to make sure there's no confusion, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 14, the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. I actually like that picture. The mouth of a fool brings ruin near. It's like ruin is out there, and you know ruin, that's devastation. Ruin is out there waiting. A messed up life is out there waiting. Pain is out there waiting. Problems and complications in relationships are out there waiting. And the way a person speaks can bring ruin closer and closer, step by step, until one day ruin pounces and destroys him. Maybe Proverbs 18:17 says it best, if you just look over there. Proverbs 18:17. Verse 7. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. And what a picture, because a snare is what? A snare is a trap, obviously. And what's the trap? It's the man's own lips. Solomon's saying, the way a person speaks can make his own lips a trap that he catches himself in. Fool's mouth is his ruin. It's like you look at that person and you ask, why is that person ruined? And the answer is not confusing. Solomon says, listen to how he speaks. That's the reason why his whole life is ruined. The way you speak matters, because the way you speak has the power to destroy your life. And it does that in a lot of different ways. For example, one way your speech can ruin your life is by making it difficult for you to benefit from God's Word. And that's a big deal. To have God's Word and not benefit. Can you imagine? There are lots of people out there that actually don't have access to God's Word. But to have God's Word and not benefit from it because of the way you communicate. And this is Proverbs 10:8. Again, you remember where Solomon says, the wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. And you have to think about that. Receive commandments. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. You have to think about that, because if you know Solomon and his father David, they're big on the power of God's commands. And they really think that God's commands have the power to transform a person's life. So receiving commandments is huge, because God's commands can do all these amazing things in a person's life. And yet, listen, in spite of how powerful God's commands are, there's a person who can listen to God's commands week after week and not benefit from them, because he hasn't learned to control the way he speaks. And so even though he's sitting there in the presence of the most powerful force on earth, truth, he's right there in the presence of truth that has the power to change his life forever, but it doesn't do him any good, because he just keeps babbling, babbling, babbling. And of course, there are different ways that people do this. Maybe he argues. You know, a lot of people do that. When they're being convicted by God's word, they get angry, and sometimes they start attacking the person who's speaking truth to them. It's like, who do you think you are? Or, you know, I see all these problems in your life. How dare you? Or sometimes they object. They start bringing up all these reasons why whatever's being said doesn't apply to them. Maybe it's true for someone else, but for some reason they're sure their situation is different. It's kind of like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Maybe that's true. I can't argue with the fact that the Bible says that. But the thing is, you don't understand what's going on in my life right now. My circumstances change everything. Other times, instead of listening, when they're being confronted by the truth, they go on and on and on about the fact that they already knew that, or studied that, or thought about that. And sometimes they start even adding all these other things that they read and studied as well, and it's not even genuinely for the purpose of adding to the conversation. That's not why they're talking. They're talking to get you off their back. It's about distraction. And I hope you notice maybe that I'm trying to be specific here, because most of us know, I think, that how we speak can ruin our lives. That's pretty obvious. The problem, though, is that sometimes we're ruining our lives by the way we speak, and we're not even noticing the source of the problem. We're oblivious. We're not growing, even though the Word of God is being preached, and it's because of the way we talk, which is why I'm saying it's important you pay attention to how you speak. The way you speak matters, because the way you speak is powerful. It can ruin your life. It might be ruining your life and you don't even realize it. And one proof that it can ruin your life is how difficult it makes makes it for you to benefit from God's word, because you're arguing, because you're attacking, because you're excusing, because you're defending, instead of actually listening and receiving God's commands and obeying. But you know, maybe to take this to the next level, not only does the way you speak matter because it has the power to do you great damage, according to Solomon, it also has the power to do others great damage as well. Your speech matters because not only does it impact you, it impacts all the other people around you as well. It's kind of like a silly example when you have bad breath. That doesn't impact you much if you have bad breath. When I have bad breath, that breath doesn't usually bother me, but it definitely impacts the people around me, you know? And as you're speaking, they don't even want to be that close to you. Or even better, I guess, when you're sick with a contagious disease, that's impacting you. But if you're not careful, when you're around people, it also impacts them in a big way, like the way you speak. The way you speak, according to Solomon, not only impacts you, it actually can make others sick as well. For example, it can make people angry, the way you speak. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, which is beautiful. It's possible to respond to someone in a way that actually turns away their ability to be angry. But at the same time, you can respond to someone in a way that makes them angrier. A harsh word stirs up anger. And you know, obviously, people are responsible for their response. And so if I get sinfully angry, I can't just look at you and say, ah, it's all your fault. But on the other hand, you can speak in a way that makes it easier for people to be angry with you. And it's important that you take responsibility for that. If you have a lot of angry people in your life, it might not be a coincidence. Like, oh, I wonder, why are there all these angry people around me all the time? Why is the whole world angry? It might be. A reason you're around so many angry people is because the way you speak makes it easier for people to get mad. I mean, the way you speak has power. It matters. It can make people angry. It can break people as well. Proverbs 15, verse 4. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And spirit, what's spirit? That refers to a person's inner person. So this is deep. It's like their attitude, it's their disposition, it's their whole outlook on life. And perverse, of course, means twisted. And in this verse, it's set in contrast to gentle. So it's like these people whose tongues are twisted and that they're not using their speech to care for people, to love their neighbor, but they're constantly finding ways to speak to others that belittles them or minimizes them in ways that are just harsh. And that kind of speech, Solomon says, has the power to do damage at literally the deepest level of a person's being. Perverseness in the tongue can break the spirit. And the word break, it can be used to describe a jar that's just been dropped and shattered. A soul shattered by the power of a person's speech. There's an old nursery rhyme I know, I'm sure you know it as well, that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And that's a lie. That's like, no wise woman ever taught her children to say that. Only fools. Because words can hurt us in ways where the damage is actually much more significant and much more lasting than any actual physical pain. Which may be why one of Solomon's common illustrations for speech is that of a weapon. Your speech, he says, can be like a weapon. I mean, listen to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 80. Solomon says, There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Actually, verse 18. There is Proverbs 12, 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. And so he's saying, if you want to understand the damage that speech can do, you might imagine someone going around with a sword and just swinging it. Can you picture it? How would you like to be invited to his house as he's walking through his living room, just swinging away his sword? Or even worse, imagine someone deliberately using a sword to hurt people. He's taking that sword and attacking. And that's what, according to Solomon, we can do to others with our words. They are that powerful. It's amazing, actually, the kind of damage that words can do in such a short period of time. In fact, you remember in the New Testament how when Alan read James chapter 3, James described our speech like what? What was the illustration he used? Solomon said, your speech is like a weapon. James said, your speech is like what? Water? Is that what he said? Cotton balls? He says, your speech is like, rhymes with rire. Sounds like, says your speech is, it actually doesn't sound like, it is, fire. Your speech is fire. And James is trying to get people to take the way they speak seriously, like us. And so he uses a series of illustrations to do that. And one of the illustrations he uses is that of a forest who's been that's been devastated by fire. And think about that. How great a forest, he says. And he's like, look at this forest. It is massive. And this is a place that used to be amazing and green and filled with life everywhere. And now it's gone. It's gone. It's only dark. It's gray, ash, and there's death left behind. And how, you wonder, how was that much damage done so quickly? James says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the emphasis is on small. It doesn't take much fire to do a lot of damage. And here's the thing. The tongue is a fire. It may seem small. Your speech, the way you talk every day. That's what I'm talking about here. The way you talk every day, it may seem small. The way you communicate with your 3-year-old child may seem small. The way you communicate around the dinner table may seem small. The way you talk to your friend, it may seem small. But the Bible is shouting out, Proverbs is shouting out, the wise person understands, the way you talk is powerful because it can do damage very, very quickly, a great amount of damage, and that's why the way you speak matters so much. It has power to ruin lives, your life and the lives of others. And yet, on the other hand, it also has the power to do a lot of good as well. And this is where it gets a little more exciting, because we want to do good with our lives as believers. And your speech, it's true, can ruin you, but it's also true that your speech can save you. Proverbs 14, verse 3. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back. And I love the Proverbs. A fool speaks in a way that brings unnecessary pain into his life. It's his mouth that brings the rod. You ask, why is that man being beaten? It's his mouth that asks for the beating. But, Solomon said, the lips of the wise will preserve them. And preserve means save. It means rescue. It means deliver. The lips of the wise will deliver them. Proverbs 12:6 puts it like this. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. These words just sitting there looking to do violence. But the mouth of the upright delivers them. It delivers them. For one thing, because the way a good person speaks makes it easier for people to trust them. The way you talk every day, whether you like it or not, it influences other people's attitude towards you. And as a result, your speech has the power to save you because your speech can help people trust you even when it's hard to trust you. Which is important because obviously in life, there are going to be things that come up in every relationship that cause us to wonder about someone. And it's not always even their fault. Like, you know, in a marriage relationship, for example, there might be a husband who says to his wife he's coming home at a certain time, and he really means it, but then however he was trying to get there breaks down, and his phone is flat, and so he's not able to get home on time. And yet, if he's the kind of person who's trustworthy, who's known for speaking the truth, his speech delivers him, if you know what I'm saying. For years and years, he's proven to his wife he only says what is true. And yet, on the other hand, if he's not been trustworthy at that moment, the way he's spoken in the past gets him into trouble, even if this time he's actually saying what happened because she has such a hard time believing it. Or I guess to come at it from another angle. The way you speak can deliver you because honestly, it keeps you from saying things that are stupid if you're wise. If you've developed a pattern of good speech, it can keep you from saying things that are foolish. I mean, it's not only saying the right things that makes a person good at communication, it's also not saying the wrong things. And Proverbs talks about that, like Proverbs 12:13. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. He gets in trouble, in other words, because of what he's actually said, sinfully. Where the righteous man, on the other hand, escapes from trouble. He's delivered. Why? Partially because he didn't say what the wicked man said. He knows when to talk. He knows when not to talk. And that matters. That ability right there has power. Because not only does it keep you from sinning, it also keeps you from being embarrassed as well. Think of Proverbs 18:13, which says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. And there are people that, and we can all be like this, there are people who think they know more than they know. And so they talk without gathering information. And Solomon says, that's not just wrong. You know what that does? That shames you. If you don't know how to control your speech, it shames you. It embarrasses you. Very often because you end up saying more than you know. And yet on the other person, the person who knows how to speak, he's able to control himself. And so he doesn't speak until he really understands what's going on. And that ability saves him from saying something that's not helpful. It makes him the kind of person that you look to for help. Because he works at understanding. He's a person who's a blessing for others. Which is another thing, actually, that Solomon talks about a lot. How you speak matters. It has power to do damage, to do good. It has power to do damage to you. And it has power to do good for you. And it has power to do damage to others. And it has power to do good for others. Because if you can control the way you speak, you can change other people's lives in a way that is amazing. Like, how did that happen? Go back to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 8. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Or Proverbs 12:18. Sure, I'm missing. Proverbs 12:18. The tongue of the wise brings healing. There's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. He's not talking about physical healing there. Obviously, that would be weird. So much as talking about knowing the right word to say at the right time in the right way. If you know, he's saying, the right word to say at the right time in the right way, your speech can heal others. It can bring peace to someone who's worried. It's like their worry is sickening them. And your speech heals. Maybe you remind them of a promise of God and suddenly they have hope. Your speech can diffuse a potentially volatile situation. You come into a room and people are on edge and there's a tension. It's an unhealthy room spiritually. And you can speak in a way that heals, that takes the tension away and brings those people together. Your speech can help someone know what to do when they're confused. It's like they're blind and you say something that enables them to make a choice that changes their life and the life of others forever. You help them see. It can save people, actually, your speech. And this is amazing. God, look at me now. Your speech can distract people from hearing a sermon, even. Your speech can save people. Like, literally. Your speech can be used by God to save someone from going to hell and to enable them to go to heaven and be with God forever, which is why I keep saying how you speak matters. It's life or death, how you speak. And I'm not just saying that, like overemphasizing this. Proverbs actually says that. Proverbs 18:21. Look at this. Solomon says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. I mean, that's heavy. Your tongue, my tongue, the way we speak, can be an instrument of death in people's lives. And everything associated with death as well, like rottenness, decaying, sickening. You can see people who are sick spiritually. Sometimes you see families that are just decaying, they're rotting. And why is it? Everyday talk. It's the way they speak. It's nothing that seems massive. It's just the normal way that they speak to one another is rotting that family from the inside out. Speech has the power of death. I've seen this. You can see a couple that's beautiful when they get married. Beautiful. On their wedding day, love. I mean, it's so sweet. You know, they love each other so much. 10 years later, it's like you're walking into a room with decaying bodies. You know, I'm not trying to be too graphic, but that's what their marriage feels like. How did this become that? Everyday talk. The way they speak to one another every day has killed that family. Your speech has the power of death. I know you don't believe me. You take your speech so lightly. But it's God who says this. Your everyday talk, that conversation you have with someone around the dinner table, that conversation you have with someone at work, that gossip that you share, that slanderous pattern of speech that you have in your life, it can kill people. Speech has the power of death, but it also has the power of life. How you speak matters. And so obviously, as Christians, seeing all that Proverbs has to say about the power of the tongue, we have to be asking ourselves, what do I do now, once I know the importance of how I speak? I mean, it's great, I guess, to come to church and be reminded of why speech is so important, but you also need to know what you can do to speak well. You want to be an instrument of life in other people's lives. Learn how to speak well. But how? How can you learn to speak well? Proverbs is clear. It matters. But how do we actually become better at it? And obviously the whole Bible answers that question. But I want to focus our attention mostly on Proverbs. If speech is this powerful, what should we do? First of all, very simply, the first thing you need to do is act like it. If speech is this powerful, act like it. I don't know if you ever talked to a child about something and you really wanted them to know that it was important. I don't know, maybe you had something you wanted them to carry, like a vase. I don't know why you would ask your child to carry a vase, but say you're a foolish dad and you ask your child to carry this vase and it's breakable. And so you're like, please be careful, please be careful. And your child's like, And you're like, seriously, you need to be careful. And they're like, okay, And so you hand it to them carefully, and the very first thing they do is take off running. And you're like, no, be careful. And that's the way a lot of us are when it comes to Proverbs and the way we speak. We say, and we're not careful. If our speech has this kind of power, really, truly, we need to be more careful about how we use it. In Proverbs 13:3, Solomon puts it like this. He says, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. Guard your mouth, save your life. And he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And I love that illustration. Guarding your mouth. Whoever guards his mouth, especially when you contrast it with opening wide your lips. There's a person who goes around and it's like his mouth is always open. Just saying stuff. And listen, obviously it's possible to talk too little. You need to talk. But it's really dangerous if you talk too much as well. And too much basically is just opening your mouth and letting come out whatever you want to come out. Words are too powerful not to think about what you're saying. That's how you guard it. I know some people, they're like, I just want to be real, man. I just want to be real. Whatever, you know, whatever I'm feeling, that's got to come out of my mouth. And if whatever I'm feeling doesn't come out of my mouth, I'm not being real. No, that's not called being real. That's called being stupid. And actually keeping that stuff inside is called self-control. Being fake is controlling your speech to manipulate others. Self-control is knowing that not everything you feel is real. And so because you realize not everything you feel is real, and because you understand the power your words have, you exercise self-control and don't say everything you're feeling in the moment. You guard your mouth. You think about what you're saying. I mean, that's the first way to act like what Solomon's saying is true, is actually to think about what you're saying. You know, how many times did your mom and dad say to you when you were young, think before you speak? And that's a really important piece of wisdom. The problem is that it's also very hard to do. How do you guard your mouth? How do you think before you speak? If that's how we act like speech matters, how do we do it? How do we guard our mouth? Well, one thing you do is you pray. You pray a lot about the way you speak. You make the way you speak on an everyday basis a matter of prayer. James says no human being can tame the tongue. And I don't think he's trying to take away hope when he says that, like, no human being can tame the tongue, so just say whatever you want to say. No, he wants to challenge us to put our hope in the right place. If you're going to guard your speech, you need to go to God, and you need to ask Him to help you learn to speak the way He wants. This is an area you cannot fix without God. You need to pray, and you need to get to work after that. You don't just pray, God, please help me speak well. You get to work. And I'm going to give you some hints as to what to do, how to get to work in a minute. But one place Proverbs says to start working is working at being slower to speak. It's not really all that complicated, actually. You can think more about what you're saying if you're a little slower to say it. Proverbs 29:20. Look at this. This is a powerful verse. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who's hasty in his words? I wonder, does anybody see somebody who's really quick to speak? Look at what he says here. And you almost can't believe Solomon said this, actually. There is more hope for a fool than for him. Why is that shocking for Solomon to say that? Because Solomon doesn't have a lot of hope for fools. Actually, there's no hope for a fool. But he says, I'll tell you one guy who's in a worse position than a fool. It's a guy who's so quick for his words. And this is not, he's not trying to say, well, there's a difference between a fool and him. He's just saying there is very little hope for a person who's quick to speak. A person who's always just talking. Now, in case you're thinking, well, my grandma really likes to talk. And I don't think Solomon's concern here is a nice little grandma who just loves to have conversation and is really good at small talk. There's some application, I'm sure, to her. But I think instead the kind of person he's concerned with is the person who's so full of himself. He just loves hearing himself talk, and so he just talks quickly without thinking. And he isn't interested in growing or learning from others as much as he is in sharing his own opinion, which is not who you want to be. You do not want to be that person. And that's one reason you should work at being a little slow to speak, especially on matters of importance, because it gives you time to ask, is what I'm saying worth saying? And why am I saying it, you know? Is this even the time to say it? Second, because your speech is powerful, the first step, church, act like it. Guard your mouth. Guard your fingers when you're commenting on Facebook or writing on the internet as well. That's speech too. Because speech is powerful, act like it. Guard your mouth. Think about what you say. Be careful about what you say. Ask God for help. Become a little slower to speak. And second, to improve your speech, you obviously need to know the characteristics of good speech and bad speech, according to God. And whether you know it or not, right now what I'm doing is some serious family counseling or marriage counseling. If you would listen to what I'm saying right now, your relationships could go forward. We're doing massive marriage counseling, family counseling here, if you'll listen to what I'm saying about speech. To guard your speech, you need to act like it. If it's that powerful, you need to act like it first. Second, obviously, you need to know what's good and what's bad to say. Like, how can, if speech is as powerful, you need to be able to identify, is this the right thing to say or is this the wrong thing to say? And Solomon helps you do this. And so I think actually this would probably be great devotions for you. Just work your way through Proverbs and ask, what does he say about good speech and what does he say about bad speech? But I'll help you. I started working my way through the characteristics of wicked speech in Proverbs. One, it's bad speech if it makes sin look good. Proverbs 1:10. Solomon says, if sinners entice you. Proverbs 2:16, he said, so you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. This is what fools do. They make sin look good with words. In Proverbs 9:13, Solomon describes folly, and he says it's loud folly, it's seductive, and it knows nothing. And you know what folly says? Proverbs 9:17, it says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In other words, it tries to make sin look good. It's stolen water, but it's sweet. We have to eat it in secret, sure, but it's pleasant. And any time you talk about sin as if it were something positive, that is sickening speech. That is speech that kills. Anytime you talk about sin as if it were something positive. Two, it's bad speech if it's dishonest. If it's dishonest. Proverbs 6, 16 and 17 says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. And I wonder if you noticed what was mentioned twice. Did you catch it? What was mentioned twice in that list of seven things that God hates? It's funny, you have seven things you're going to say that God hates, and you say the same thing twice. What does that tell you? That's like a big thing that God hates. And what was it that was mentioned twice? Lying. Lying is a big deal to God. Later on in Proverbs, it actually says a lying tongue is an abomination to God. Abomination. My son asked me, what's an abomination? Abomination is like, what I told him is like poop on your shoe. Family devotions. I'm not sure how. But it's something, it's not just bad. It's like, no. And what is no to God? But with anger, actually. Lying. And so if you have a pattern of lying in your life, stop! God hates it. You must stop. Repent. That kind of speech kills. It kills. Which is why God hates it. It's bad speech three. Ask yourselves as you work through this. If you're looking at your life and wondering why your relationships aren't working, it might be because of the way you're talking. And so I'm trying to help you see, are these some of the things that happen? Are these some of the ways that you're speaking? Because Solomon says this way of speaking kills. It's bad speech if it hides its true intentions. There's speech that's tricky, and I guess that's a lot like lying, but words weren't given to conceal as much as they were given to reveal. And yet the wicked person doesn't want people to see what's in his heart. That's like his greatest fear. And so he gets good at hiding what he really wants as he speaks. Proverbs 10:6 says, blessings are on the head of the righteous. But look at this. The mouth of the wicked hides. The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. In other words, he's got something bad he wants to do, but he's found a way to talk that hides it. Later on, he says the same thing. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. One more time, Proverbs 10:18. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Instead of dealing with sin in our lives, some of us learn to hide the sin in our lives by the way we talk to others. And if that becomes a pattern, that fakeness, that kind of speech does damage, serious damage. Or it's bad speech if it's perverted. Proverbs 10:32 says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Some people, they know the right thing to say in a situation. They know what matches up with God's word. Other people, they are experts at knowing the wrong thing to say. They know how to say the opposite of what is pleasing to God in every situation, which is sickening speech. It hurts them and everyone else around them. Five, it's bad speech if it attacks people. You know, if you really want to evaluate your speech, just bottom line, evaluate your speech by the law of love. Is this word loving? Because wicked speech isn't. Proverbs 11:9. With his mouth, listen to this. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor. It's wicked speech if it's attacking. How? Well, he makes fun of his neighbor. Proverbs 11:12. He makes them seem small when he's talking to others. He slanders his neighbor. Proverbs 11:13. He says things about people to others, not to help them, but to hurt them. He's cruel. Proverbs 11:17. He takes a moment when he could have been kind and uses it to hurt someone. He looks for the right moment. It's like he's actually waiting for the right moment to say something hurtful about someone. Proverbs 12:6. This is bad speech. It's the kind of speech we have to identify in ourselves and put off because of the damage it can do. Six, it's bad speech if it's a pattern of nonsense. Every once in a while we joke around, of course. That's not what I mean. I mean the guy who is always nonsense and tries to make nonsense sound smart. We've all had conversations with him. Maybe sometimes we've been him, unfortunately. But Proverbs 14:7 says, leave the presence of a fool, for there you don't need words of knowledge. In other words, you could sit there for hours with a fool. And you can talk about a situation, but you're never going to actually understand anything at the end of those hours. The only way to get knowledge, according to Solomon, is you actually have to get up and leave. Leave the presence of a fool, because this guy is filled with so much nonsense that you're actually never going to hear truth, no matter how long you talk to him. You talk to a fool, you meet words, lots of words, just not words that are actually based on stuff that makes sense. You ever been around one of those guys? YouTube is filled with those guys, I'm sure. You think about what he's saying and it doesn't make sense. And yet he takes it so seriously. And he defends it, and he gets so angry if you don't agree. Proverbs 15:7 says, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the heart of fools. They talk, fools, but they get into conversations about important issues, not because they want to understand, but instead to hear their own voice. Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. Like, the more, so a wise person, when he meets foolishness, he starts to get tired after a while. Like maybe he's sucked in for a little bit because he's not all as wise as we should be. He starts talking, but after a while, a wise person, when he's talking with nonsense, he gets a little tired. Especially if it's nonsense that won't listen. He gets a little tired. But a fool's not like that. A fool, he encounters nonsense and it makes him hungrier for more nonsense. He loves it. This is what kind of drives them. They get some sort of strange satisfaction in speaking foolishness. Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. And you have to be careful around people like that, because there are people who have been so, they become experts at making ignorance sound wise. What they're saying is actually stupid, but they make stupid sound so good. Which is why Proverbs 14:8 says the folly of fools is deceiving. That's why he said leave the presence of a fool. Because he knows the folly of fools is deceiving if you listen long enough. And we could go on, I'm sure. I can't do all the work for you. But if you recognize how powerful speech is, you obviously need to think a little bit about what dangerous, destructive speech looks like. And you can use Proverbs to help you. It's bad speech if it makes sin look good, if it isn't true, if it's hiding its true intentions to manipulate others, if it's perverted, if it's mean, if it loves to talk nonsense, if it's quarrelsome, if it's angry, if it's proud, if it's excuse-making, if it's inappropriate, if it's argumentative. Now, what about good speech? And actually, I guess you could just take all that I said about bad speech and say the opposite. But you want to think about it. That's the point. The wise person knows the power of speech, and so if there's anything you want to become really good at in life, it's speaking the right word. And to speak the right word, obviously, you have to do some thinking about what the right word is. I'll give you just a couple. The right word is wise. That's one. The mouth of the righteous, Proverbs 10:31, brings forth wisdom. And what does that mean? It means people who are good at speaking are able to take the truth of God's word and help you understand how to apply it in your life. When you're around them for a while, you find, whoa, there's substance to what they're saying. Their words are not just constantly air. You ever been around people that it's like you could just poke through their words, their words are just air? But not the wise person. I mean, obviously, he talks small talk and all that. But if you're around him long enough, you find they're talking truth and they're taking the truth that's in the Bible and they're helping you understand, okay, this is the difference it should make in my life. And if you want to make an impact, you need to learn to do that. With your speech, you can learn to do that. Two, the right word is not only wise, it's humble. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. So if pride walks in the door, you're like, I know what's coming next. Disgrace. The two always travel together. But with the humble is wisdom. And you have to ask yourself, what motivates what I'm saying? Am I motivated to make myself look big, look smart, look important? Because if I am, I'm probably not going to be speaking much wisdom. Speech that helps is coming from someone whose biggest goal is to exalt God and help others. It doesn't boast about itself. Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Are you the kind of person who gets bored when you're talking about yourself? That's probably a good sign. There are some people who get bored when others are talking about themselves. That's probably not the best sign. And there are others who just are so fascinated by themselves, and that's definitely not a great sign. The right word is wise, it's humble. The right word, honestly, you know what it might be sometimes? It might be no word, actually. A wise person knows when not to say something. Proverbs 11:12. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. And I think Solomon's assuming there are times when people do stupid things, and a foolish person takes advantage of that at that moment to make sure everybody knows what that person did, where the wise person is not looking to embarrass others, and so he just stays silent if he can. He knows when to leave an argument as well. Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. We always tell our children, we say, any fool will quarrel. But it takes a wise man to know when not to say anything so that you don't get into unnecessary fights. My wife has been a great example to me in this because I do like to talk, as you can tell, obviously right now. But I like to talk even just in general. And so sometimes we'll be able to see, you know, how someone might get sadder late at night, especially if they're a lady and having a conversation. And there have been moments in our marriage where Marta would be getting a little more sad later at night, emotional perhaps, we could say. And this is not in my notes either, so I'll try to be careful how I say it. But we do get a little bit more emotional and having a good discussion. And Marta will say, you know what? I think it would be good if we talked about this in the morning. Because it's late at night and I'm emotional. And I think that it really doesn't matter that much. And when we wake up in the morning, I'll find out that it doesn't matter that much. And so then it takes some self-control, because I like to just talk about everything. And so it takes some self-control for me not just to say, what's wrong, share everything that's wrong. I want to hear everything that's wrong. It takes some self-control for me to say, okay, honey, let's just wait and see if it still matters in the morning. And we wake up in the morning, and 9 times out of 10, she's like, yeah, I was just late at night, and I was tired. And when we were young and we didn't know how to do that, man, we could have such long conversations about nothing and only make it so much worse when we wake up in the morning and find out, wow, that was not even worth talking about. A wise person knows when to say something, but a wise person also knows when not to say something. And actually, a wise person knows how to say to the other person that it's not time to say something in a way that doesn't make it harder for the conversation to go on. Proverbs 16, verse 16 puts it like this. The vexation of a fool is known at once. A fool, you know what he's upset about the moment he's upset. But the prudent ignores an insult. Unfortunately, sometimes in a car, it's easy to be a fool, isn't it? Especially when the vexation of a fool is known at once. Or in a queue when somebody steps in front of you. I've been a fool in a car when somebody has come in front of me and your hand, you're like, ah, and they're like, ah. The vexation of a fool is known at once. But the prudent man ignores an insult. He knows when to talk and he knows when not to talk. The wise man. And I guess like with bad speech, we could go on talking about the characteristics of good speech in the book of Proverbs. And I think you should. If you really believe speech is as powerful as God says it is, then act like it. That's one. By guarding your mouth. And two, evaluate your speech. And repent. This is what you need to do in light of this sermon. Number three, repent where needed. Because you know what the wise person does in Proverbs? Does he know everything, the wise person? Does the wise person always do what is right? Does he always have the right word to say, the wise person? No. The difference between a fool and a wise person in Proverbs is not that the wise person is so much smarter than the fool, or that the wise person is always right, never makes a mistake, and the fool isn't. The difference is how they take rebuke. The wise person listens. If you come Sunday after Sunday and you hear these messages and you take them seriously and you say, God, what am I doing? I've sinned. I speak foolishly. I need to change. I'm going to take some steps to change. That's wise. That's wise. That's an act of grace. Repent, grieve over your sin, but also thank God. He's at work in you. The wise person listens to rebuke. If you come and you hear all this and you're like, I can't believe it. And you go home and you start slandering everyone at church. And you start thinking, how could I have there? And then you'll listen and you harden your heart. That is foolish. But if you're wise and you know the importance of speech, you know what you do? You have your Bible open. You read what it says. You look at your life. And when you're not obeying what God says, you confess it as sin. You don't minimize it. You don't excuse it. You don't justify it. And you repent, which means you turn from that sin and you seek to change. If you look at your life and you lie a lot, you have a pattern of lying, you say, God, this is wrong. It's sin. Please forgive me. I'm constantly, people say, this often happens as a pastor. This is a funny one. You see people you haven't seen in a while, shake their hand. Hey, how you doing? I'm at church this Sunday. I'll be at church this Sunday. I'm there. I'm like, I just said hello, man. I don't know. But it's a lie. They're not at church that Sunday. And some of us have a pattern of speaking lies. And if you are a person who lies, what do? This is just an example. You repent. You say, this is wrong. God, please forgive me. And if you lie to someone, you go to that person and you say, I lied. That was sin. Please forgive me. And then you look at why you're lying. Why do I do this all the time? You ask yourself. Maybe it's because you're proud. Or maybe it's because you're afraid God can't take care of you. You try to get to the root of the lie and then you repent of that as well. Because it's not just the lying that's sin. It's the stuff that's in your heart that's sin. And then you exercise faith. You focus on the promises of God. You remind yourself, I don't need to exalt myself with my speech because I have the righteousness of Christ. And God's going to glorify me. And I don't have to take care of myself by saying things that aren't true because God will protect me. And you put on truth. If you know you struggle with lying, you work at replacing your lies with bold truth. When you're in a situation and you feel that pull to lie, you do the opposite. You put on truth. You say what's totally true. You flee lying by putting on truth. You become known as a person whose word you can take to the bank. Even in the smallest thing. Your yes becomes yes, and your no becomes no. So that telling the truth becomes a new pattern in your life. And that's just one example of what you can do with almost anything. But if you're going to change, you need to do it. It's no good to know everything Proverbs says about good speech and bad speech if you don't personally respond by evaluating your speech and repenting where you need to. And I mean repenting thoroughly, completely, not leaving a trace of it behind. And then finally, your speech matters. I know I've said that over and over again. And we've looked at why it matters, because of the power of speech for good and bad. And given the power of speech, we said, this is what we should do. We should guard our mouths. We should evaluate our speech. We should repent. And fourth, finally, this is key. If you really want to respond to this message, you need to understand how you speak reveals who you are. And this may be one of the most important things that I said today. If you're going to speak well, who you are has to change, actually, fundamentally. It's out of the heart, Jesus says, that the mouth speaks. That's Luke 6:45. Which means, while I've been doing all this talking from Proverbs about how you talk, good speech, bad speech, all of that, the problem for some of you might be bigger than just learning a new way to speak. It might be that your speech reveals you're not a Christian. Yet. You lie all the time because you never trusted God. Or you gossip all the time because you really don't love people. Or you boast all the time because you really do want others to think you're great. And I guess from Proverbs and the Bible, I just want to say to you, that is a big deal. You are going to be judged in the future for what you say. And the way you speak now is going to hurt others, and it's going to hurt yourself as well. So I'm praying, if you're listening and you're experiencing conviction, not just that you'll try a little harder to speak well, but some of you, it might be that you need to go to God and say, God, I need a new heart. If you're not a Christian, you say, I need a new heart that believes you, that loves people, that wants to glorify you. And that's going to be the first step to change. But it's not going to be the last. And so let me talk to those of you who are Christians. And you're sure you're Christians. Because you trust in the righteousness of Christ. Even if you're hearing all this, you're like, I'm exposed. I'm such a sinner. I'm so thankful there's a Savior for a sinner like me. But you want to change. What do you do? Well, I think you need to ask, what does the way I speak to others say about who I am, where I'm at spiritually, even in terms of my maturity? I was talking to someone once, and it was kind of funny that we were talking about pride. And he said, he looked at me and he said, you know, at least my pride is not an ugly pride. I'm better than other people, because I look around and their pride is really bad. He literally said that. Three sentences in a row. And I said, whoa, man, like, oh, wait a second. Listen to yourself. Maybe what you can do is write those three sentences down. My pride is not an ugly pride. I'm better than other people. Their pride is really bad. Just write those sentences down. What does that say? Like, hand that to someone and ask them what they think that says about you if they just read those three sentences. My pride is better than other people's. I'm better. It's not ugly. I'm better than other people. Their pride is really bad. What does that say? And I'm saying you have to learn to listen to yourself and be honest. Sometimes you have to actually write down what you just said. We all need to learn to do that a little. If we somehow recorded our everyday conversations, just the normal talk around our house, and then we played that to someone else, that tape to someone else who didn't know us. If they listened to the way we talk in our house every day, what would that cause them to think about who we are? Because that is who we are. That is who we are. If we put a tape recorder in each of your houses, do you know what tape recorders are? Is there a new thing now, what we call a phone that you push the button. I don't know what they record on anymore. But if we put something that records in your house and we listen to it, what would that say about who you are, just your everyday speech? Because that is who you are. You cannot separate your normal pattern of speech from your character. And yeah, it might be that someone's not a Christian. That might be what it says. Or two, it might be just that you're not mature. And so if you really want to speak in a way that's good for others and good for you and glorifies God, then work at filling yourself up with truth and work at becoming wise and work at loving someone, because you know what's going to happen if your mind is filled with truth and your heart is filled with love? What happens if your mind is filled with truth and your heart is filled with love? Your mouth is filled with truth and your mouth is filled with love. Not really that complicated. Quoting Solomon, Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. And if you want your mouth to be a fountain of life, which I love, just imagine a fountain that is spraying life on everybody. If you want your mouth to be a fountain of life, be righteous. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. If you want your mouth to be a fountain of life, be righteous. And you do that by working at knowing and obeying God. And if you're working at knowing and obeying God, it's going to show up in the way that you speak. It has to, church. If we're going to be a church that makes a difference, we need to be a church whose everyday talk is wise. Your speech matters. Our speech matters as a church. It can do a tremendous amount of damage, but it also can do a tremendous amount of good. So what should you do? You should act like speech matters. You should repent where you need to repent. And you should ask God, what does how I talk say about who I am? And then go to God and ask God that He'll make you into someone different, so that your speech will be different, our speech will be different, and we'll be a church that does a lot of good and glorifies Him. Let's pray.